Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Driving More Show. Hi, I'm Paul. I'll be your host this evening and hopefully I will be joined by Con in a short while. What are we going to talk about this evening? Well, we'll have a quick chat about Super Rugby Alpaca. We'll talk about women's rugby in general as well. We've got some Super Rugby news, including a signing. And there's also some pre-season stuff to talk about, as well as cricket as well, which is not something we normally talk about on this show. And joining me is Con. How are you doing, sir?
Very good, Paul. Yourself?
Not so bad. I suppose Black Caps. Cheers, sir. Yeah, we've got the beers out. That's always good to see.
It's actually White Ferns for the ladies. Represent. Wrong side, sorry.
I thought it was a cricket one. But hey, that's good.
It is cricket. It's the White Ferns. Yeah. So it's a cricket shirt.
Did you watch the I can't remember what it's called now, where the Black Caps or ex Black Caps take on the All Blacks kind of thing? Annex All Blacks with Kieran Reid, etc. involved.
I've been to one of them and I've watched them and do kind of enjoy them for like what they are, which is a bit of a circus show of entertainment. But I completely missed it. I did catch the highlights and stuff like that, and it is kind of fun. I'll tell you one thing about it. I don't want to rag on it, just in case you know some passionate players are listening. Will Jordan, I'm sure he's listening, friend of the pod. But it's the type of thing that seems like it's a charity event, and then it's not, and it's a bit odd that it's not a charity event. You know what I mean? Like, I think it looks like it should be a charity event, and then you realise, oh, it's actually just a commercial venue. You're like, okay. And so, that's my take on it. It's like a charity event that doesn't have a charity, just some rich people making money. And I don't think it's the players either.
Yeah, you're quite right. I think it's a good, I say it's a hit and giggle, but some of the players do take it quite seriously. But I'm not sure the spectators really do. And the fact that it's 2-2 after 4 years does suggest a little bit of match fixing might be involved as well. But as you say, I think the players are actually taking it quite seriously. I must say I've not watched any of them, but look, the amount of kind of chat on Twitter and stuff shows that people do enjoy watching them. So I think it's good from that point of view, just to get interest.
It's a great day out, and I think that's one of the cool things. Like, it is a good event to attend when it is in your city. But yeah, go ahead, mate.
Yep. And the Chiefs have got one coming up as well. I've just realised that I haven't got the announcement email. I don't know why I'm missing that one. But the Chiefs have got one coming up, which is against the local or the sort of the regional cricket team that's in that, whatever it's called. It won't be the Central, it'll be the Northern Stars or something along those kind of lines. So men's and also women's as well. So that's coming up, I think, next week. So if you're in Hamilton, that could be a fun one to head along to. I'm considering whether I'll try and get over to that with MediaPass to get some posts or to get some interviews sort of pre-season. So a good fun one there in that one. Northern Districts is the one Simon informs me. Thank you, Simon. So that's coming up. So that's really the only reason I mentioned it.
I didn't know there was going to be
a bit of fun. But you're quite right. I think that idea that it should be a charity event, and especially they go Wednesday the 2nd of February is the Clash of the Codes, is what they're calling it, at Seddon Park. I think charity would be good, especially look with the situation in Tonga at the moment. That would be the perfect opportunity to raise money for something like that, for example, or for ex players for injuries point of view.
Exactly. I think they'll even go the other way, Paul. Do you think they'll do cricket players playing rugby? Might be a bit dangerous.
A bit more dangerous, isn't it? Yeah, a bit more. they're expensive commodities nowadays. With the old, no one that's on an IPL auction would be allowed to play rugby.
Get the scrum, maybe golden oldie scrum, but yeah, true.
Oh, golden oldie scrum, yes.
It'd be a bit of a massacre, but I guess that's the one good thing about cricket is every New Zealand rugby player probably played a little bit at one point. And the worst that can happen is you can do a pretty poor throw, or you get bowled out, you know. So
a bit of body line could. I mean, some players could. Yeah, depends on how seriously the fast bowlers are taking it. But you're quite there. I mean, there's, but also, I mean, some. I mean, Geordie Barrett played to quite a good level. And having listened to some of the What a Lad podcasts, you can tell that quite a few of the players have played to a decent level during schoolboy cricket at the very least. So yeah, they're quite a few useful players, or enough useful players amongst the, pardon me, the professional rugby fraternity to put together a decent kind of side for that one.
Tom Walsh was in it for some reason though. Did you see that? Tom Walsh, do you know who he is?
Nope.
He's the New Zealand shot putter, the Olympian.
Oh, yes.
And he accidentally launched his bat. So the players do take it seriously. I think they take it seriously in that when they get out there, they want to have a really good hit. They want to do well. Like they enjoy the playing. But as far as the kind of the teams, the makeup, who's on team rugby versus who's on team cricket, the coaching, I have a feeling it is very sort of it's a weekend away, and then that's why I think it should be a charity match. But yeah, anyway, good on them. Good on them. Someone's making money.
Of me talking about get along next Wednesday to that game is will people be able to attend? So for those who are non-Kiwis who are watching or listening to the podcast. I've not even done this yet. Don't forget, folks, you can listen to this as a podcast. Just search New Zealand Sport Radio. Please do subscribe, follow, all of that kind of stuff. Or if you want to watch it live, we go out live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you want to comment, then YouTube and Facebook are the place to be at 8 p.m. on Mondays. For those of you that don't, who are non-Kiwis, we went into, red. COVID red last night, which is not some kind of cocktail like COVID yellow or a sunriser, but what it basically means is that it's not actually a lockdown, but the number of people who are allowed to be at events has been reduced. Now, whether these events, whether being in a stadium counts as indoor or outdoor, I'm not entirely sure, and those sort of things. A traffic light, thank you, Simon, is the official way of saying it. Traffic light red. The number of people who can be in an event is reduced because of that one. So it'll be interesting to I don't know if people will be at that, but I say as a media person, I've been allowed to go to all the kind of events previously. So I hopefully I'll be able to get to those ones in that one. Nocturne writes, says that Colin Mansbridge has raised concern about the Crusaders being able to field the team if the rash of positive tests happen for Omicron. Yeah, absolutely. Look, all teams are going to have that issue. It's something we've seen over in Europe has been taking place kind of recently. It was interesting listening to James Lowe on the What Allowed podcast. I listened to that one today, and he was talking about how, look, they were in training supposedly to play a game at the weekend, but they had COVID in their squad, and the opposition squad had COVID as well. So basically the day-to-day stuff. And I think that's what we're going to have to be, is to take it some.
They're going to have day-to-day. I think they're going to have to bubble up, aren't they? Sorry, mate.
I don't know. We'll have to wait. A lot of things we'll have to wait and see how it all pans out. We have to follow. I can't see the Super Rugby teams bubbling up for 6 months, essentially.
My take is, if they're serious about like this Omicron thing, like, so for one, yes, it's not as infectious. What's the term? The impact is not as significant as Delta, just like Europe, if a player gets COVID, that player is no longer playing. And I think, given how contagious it is, if managers from the unions are not on the phone to some comparable, you know, managers in Europe, sort of understanding the journey that they went on, I think we could be in trouble. You know, we don't want to miss the comp, and I think the chances of Omicron ripping through us like it has in Europe is pretty high. And if it does, yeah, and they don't bubble up, it could be a real problem. That's my take.
We'll have to wait. So I don't know what measures will be taken. We don't want to get sort of political, or we're not COVID experts. From what I'm hearing, as you say.
No, I am, actually. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Yes, you're an expert, but not in COVID. I generally avoid too much of the mainstream, or too much of the news, because it's too depressing. I'm sick of sports news. But I did have a look at it the other day, and look, there's a lot of people in New Zealand are, in other words, expectation a lot of people in New Zealand will get some Omicron at some point. Or some of COVID. So yes, it is something that could derail the comp here. But as we've seen before, New Zealand rugby cannot afford, and Australian rugby cannot afford, for this competition not to happen. And we've seen similar things happen overseas, the show must go on, and they'll do everything to make sure they get their TV money, because otherwise they get bankrupt at the end of the day, and we don't have any rugby to watch. So we'll just have to wait and see how that all pans out. I mean, not turning around saying it could derail the comp. Absolutely. I mean, look, let's be blunt. That the travel restrictions between New Zealand and Australia are already suggesting that that we'll end up with sort of round nine onwards being derailed. We'll just have to wait and see how that all kind of can, or if it does, pan out. The administrators are constantly marching on, saying yes, we will be able to do it, we'll continue as is, but there have to be plan B. We're already on plan B, aren't we? So plan C, D, and F being worked on behind the scenes. I just don't want to let people know what it is yet on those things. So I did have red on my list of on my whiteboard of notes to talk about, we've got on to it a bit quicker than I was expecting, and then there was also the impact of this on club rugby as well. So at the moment, I think it's 25 people are allowed in a group outdoors, which is great for cricket. That's 11 aside. We'll have to wait and see how that works out for rugby, which is clearly 15 aside, plus your subs, plus referees, etc. So will it be interesting to see how that works for the club rugby competition for the amateurs and we'll just have to talk about that as and when it happens. Boa was going to join us, but he is being dragged away to work with his club to figure out what red means for them working through that.
Means that viewers, listeners will have to settle for nonsense and lack of knowledge as opposed to someone that actually knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, we'll try and let you know a lot better than
I understood it's 100 people outside, so I would have thought that no attendance etc would be acceptable, but maybe I'm wrong, and so we'll see what happens with Boa might have some insight for us.
Okay, but maybe it's 100 for a kind of a social event or watching a concert, but yeah. Rugby, where you're putting your heads next to each other.
Well, there's 25 if they're unvaccinated, if there are unvaccinated people. So if they so it might be vaccinated teams only are able, which is probably not the easiest thing to do, considering, you know, young, you know, men probably. I don't want to get down this, but, you know, slightly less likely to be vaccinated in that group. The 15 to 30 is the lowest level of vaccination. But still, yeah, we'll see what Bale has to say.
We'll see how it all pans out. I'll be looking forward to Waihi Rugby Club getting back together and me doing the videoing and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully it all pans out on that point of view. So anyway, we'll have to see how that all impacts the whole rugby stuff. It's had an impact on pre-season already, folks. So if you have been planning to go to a pre-season game, I know that the Crusaders have relocated one of their pre-season games because of crowd restrictions that would have caused and that made it financially unviable to have it in Marlborough. So I think they relocated that one to Canterbury. The Blues had already relocated one of their games as well due to the lack of rain and the state of the pitch over the summer. So, folks, if you have been thinking about getting along to a Super Rugby preseason game, do please check out what's happening there because I think because I think they may have moved and also clearly they may have different restrictions to who isn't allowed to attend those games. So looking forward to those. Let's stick on Super Rugby for the time being then. Jamie Roberts, British and Irish Lion and Welsh rugby legend, has signed for the Waratahs.
Is he?
For this season. Yep.
When the hell did that happen? I didn't know that. I'm hearing this for the first time. There is some need for some news in my life, to be honest, because that's interesting. So when did this happen? For the Waratahs.
Wow. We're looking at this stuff, January 23rd. So yesterday, Barry.
Jeepers. Well, that's very – well, first reactions. I mean, I hope they didn't spend a ton. No offence to him, but I think, you know – he's probably worth a fair amount, and given the currency and everything that he came from, they probably did pay a bit. He's obviously towards the end of his career.
Absolutely, yes.
But my first instance is it'll be cool. Whether it'll get, you know, people along to see him as much as maybe for the Stormers. He did pretty well for the Stormers. Like, what was that, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, whenever? He did pretty well. I think it was the Stormers. It was the Stormers, yeah. He did pretty well. Yeah. I think he's still got it in him. Good on them. I hope they didn't spend more than they could have got two or three really good, Kiwi players, no offence. It's a bit biased, but you know what I mean.
Look, I think he's in as an injury cover for Joey Walton. Look, his wife is Australian, so I'm guessing that they happened to be over in Australia at the time, and hence why not bring in someone with that experience. Look, even if he doesn't play that much, just the how to train, how to be a player, the mentoring piece that he can bring to a squad of which is, let's be honest, very young. In that Waratahs squad, I think be a fantastic role model for that. So, am I expecting him to rip Super Rugby to pieces and be a leading start? No, I'm not. But I do think he's a good signing for the Waratahs because they're such a young squad in particular.
The Force. It appears that the Force have benefited from Rob Carney and Corey Jane, is it? Corey Jane?
No, Corey Jane's a coach at the Hurricanes as Thrush?
No, the back. Oh, we're great when we do this, aren't we? Terrific listening when you can't remember a player's
Kieran Varney was there.
About Richard Kahui. All Black, 2011 All Black. Richard Kahui. So it appears that the veterans, Rob Carney, Richard Kahui, did have a really positive effect, and you heard a bit about that, as much on off the field as it was on the field. So maybe the Waratahs are looking for a bit of that. Although Carney and K car who he did play a lot as well. I think it appeared that Roberts didn't embarrass himself at all when he went to the Stormers. He seemed to, you know, I know, I'm not sure how much he played. I remember watching a couple. So he certainly got some game time. But did he play during the COVID interrupted season?
That's right.
So he probably only had probably only six games anyway. And I think he played sort of two or three. So, so he's got a little bit of experience in Super Rugby. Probably wants to, you know, finish it off. But yeah, it's interesting. I'll certainly be paying a little bit of extra attention.
Yeah. And I mean, Richard Cohey, in Thrush, I mean, I did an interview with the CEO over in with the Force. And he pointed out how they've been there for a number of years, so it's different in this one, which is clearly a short term thing, which obviously the Carney one was. I think it will be whilst the Force are going for a more younger thing, just what Simon is saying, those players are around, those two veteran All Blacks are there for long term. In also mentoring slash maybe coaching roles going forward. So they're there for they're not the mercenary kind of hires that people suggested they are potentially at some point sometimes. The other one that I thought was interesting was is that New Zealand Rugby are embedding a referee with each of the Super Rugby sides here in New Zealand. And that the referees will be training with the players.
I was thinking about this, Paul. Why does that not? I don't know when I was thinking about this. It was an idea that I thought of, and then thought, oh, it's a stupid fucking idea because everyone's thought of it first, and I'm sure they have it. I would have thought that all the good rugby teams would have a local referee just playing like with them the whole time, just trying to help them, I guess, build on the, pushing the barriers a little bit and getting the code right. Probably firstly that, getting it right, but also a little bit of pushing the envelope. Do you think they do it? This is probably my resetted question. So the All Blacks have a retired referee with them. I'm sure they have a consultant, but do you know that sort of their sort of practice matches and stuff like that?
I've heard of referees going in for the day and for specific sessions. And perhaps as you say, an ex-referee in a consulting kind of role, but this is a bit more long-term than that for the full season. Now the referee will not be allowed to referee the team that he is embedded with, right? Which
because it creates a bit of bias, influence.
So Brendan Pickles of the Blues, Mike Fraser with the Chiefs, Ben O'Keefe with the Hurricanes, Paul Williams with the Crusaders, and James Dolman with the Highlanders. I think it's a good move. Look, the referees, now that they're full time, I've always enjoyed team sports because I have to turn up because there's other people there, right? Mm. So it encourages me to turn up. When I've tried to do kind of solo training, either running or going to the gym, whatever, I just don't do it. Hence being part of a team, or it's much, I think, much easier. So I think hats off
you
to
and half the rest of the world.
Hats off to referees who have been able to train on their own for so long.
Yeah.
And I think this will help them with their training and stuff. And also it gives them access to high performance strength and conditioning coaches and nutritionalists and stuff like that, which they may or may not have, or may not have, or won't have as much access to, I would have thought, in the previous setup. So cool idea.
Not so bad.
Right. I've
let's switch off now.
It's all women's rugby from now on. So that's the men's rugby out of the way.
Cool.
And women's rugby from now on. And we've had the draw for the... Actually, first, before we get to the draw then...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chiefs have announced their assistant coaches. So Rodney Gibbs, who was the Bay of Plenty women's Farrah Palmer Cup coach and head of women's rugby down there. Someone I've had a number of interviews with, both over the, on video conference and after games. So someone who I've had also got involved with the New Zealand Barbarians last year when the Black Ferns had no other teams to play. So a good position, a good appointment there with Rodney Gibbs and Crystal Kahua, who is a ex-Sevens person and has been overseas with training and is the current Black Fern skills coach. So fantastic to see her also joining the Chiefs setup. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it to their media opportunity to talk to them, as it's a 3 hour round trip to go for a 5 minute interview. It was a bit of an ask, really. Looking forward to so well done to those appointments. I like Nocturnal's right square. Will the ref have access to the devious plans devised by coaches to fool them?
They probably would, actually. That'd be an interesting thing because I guarantee the coaches would be like, oh, hold on, Keith's coming. We'll just keep that one quiet a little bit. And it'll probably be tongue-in-cheek, but I think there would be a little bit of I can't think of any examples, but, you know, on the other side of it, they might ask, hey, don't tell your mates, but would this work? You never know.
Well, yes. So say Brendan Pickrell, who's with the Blues, is refereeing the Crusaders versus the Highlanders. Does he call up Paul Williams and James Dolman ahead of time and say, hey, boys, what should I look for? Who's the cheat?
That's right. What are they going to pull on me? Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting one. Yeah, we'll have to – if I can grab one of the referees – during the season, that'll be a fun one to talk about.
The ref's going to wear is Ben O'Keefe going to wear hurricane socks or anything like that, you know, to show us sort of his where he's sort of headquartered, like the Barbarians.
Oh dear me, I don't think so. No. We have enough kit clashes as it is. Don't try and add in extra.
Yeah.
Extra stuff like that. So Super Rugby Opaki, I think I've got the pronunciation eventually right there. The draw has been announced. Now, we were told beforehand that there would be four games at least for each team, the preseason game, three round robin games and then a final. I got back in touch with the Chiefs and they say, look, there is a preseason game to be announced. So I think there will be one more game for these teams as a preseason game between each other.
This is the full tournament here.
Well, excluding the finals.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we start off with the Blues versus the Chiefs at Eden Park, and that's a double header with the Blues men's team. Matt Atu and the Hurricanes will then play the following day on the Sunday. In Christchurch. That is not a doubleheader game. That is a standalone game. Similarly, same thing sort of happens with the Hurricanes as a doubleheader, followed but the Chiefs versus Ma'atu. Again, I believe it's a standalone game. So what's going to be really interesting is that the Sunday games of this one, I believe, are standalone. So what's going to be interesting is looking at the crowds for these games, because that way, how many of these, what are the crowds like for the double headers, or what Simon's calling curtain raisers? Oh, you bad, bad man. You're not allowed to call them curtain raisers. It'll be interesting to see what the crowd's like for the double-header games compared to the standalone games on the Sundays for these ones. So to me, that I think is going to be interesting. And then finally, the final round is a super round in Hamilton with the Blues versus Ma'atu and the Chiefs versus the Hurricanes at FMG Stadium to finish things off with the round robin. And then the final will be the following weekend. So, short, sharp, and sweet for this one. Colm, what are your any kind of thoughts on this one?
Yeah, look, most of the information I've understood around this is what I've got from you live on previous episodes. So, it is interesting. I mean, you know, I do wonder why they couldn't have done another three rounds, to be honest. Teams kind of need to play into form and that kind of thing. But I will be more likely to watch the games than I am the Farrah Palmer Cup. So for me, I do tend to tune in to Canterbury games or the Farrah Palmer Cup when I know it's a big game. Or at least I was a big fan of the Sky Sports Highlights app, which they got rid of, which I'm mortified about. And I can't fucking understand why, but anyway. So I would have done that. So I am likely to tune into this more than the Farrah Palmer Cup, which is exactly what they're hoping to get. I will be interested in seeing how the crowds shape up. And, it's probably going to be a tough one. They're competing against, they're not competing against Super Rugby, but it's a busy period for sport. You've got the Cricket World Cup in and around the same time, the Women's Cricket World Cup, which is also hosted in New Zealand. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I have a feeling that if they had six rounds and then a finals, it might allow some momentum to be built for fans. But, I'm sure there are a lot of considerations for that. So, I'm sure they know what they're doing. I like to say that and see, but interested in the short answer is interested in the tournament. Very interested to see how Matutu goes, and the pronunciation of that. I assume it's just a head-to-head final. You can't really have semi-finals, can you?
You can't, but you could have a third, fourth playoff, couldn't you? Just to create more games. Yeah, exactly. So I see what you're saying, because the Women's Cricket World Cup kicks off on the 4th of March. So basically the day before the first game in the Super Rugby Aupaki. There you go. So you're right. It is at least it's at the beginning. It's not at the kind of final stage of that competition, which would be...
When is the finals there, competition, Paul?
The cricket or the the cricket, the finals are on the 30, well, basically end of March, 30th March, but, 31st, and then the 3rd of April, the actual final.
But the final of this, I assume, is following the week of the 19th, so it'll be around the 25th. So it's likely competing with the semi-finals of the Women's Cricket World Cup.
But, no, the final's on the 30th, so it's still round robin time. So it'll be the final round of round robins will be when the final of the Super Rugby Aupaki is.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Oh, well, that's good. I guess one little silver lining. What do you think about it, Paul? Are you interested? Are you excited? What do you think?
How do you think? I'm interested in it. To me, it's just too small.
Too short.
Too short. Yep. That it should be home and away. Get the full six rounds in. I understand there's cost implications to that, and also there's you've got to pay the players more and the coaches more, but also can the players, I guess, can you take a month off a job or kind of work around it for a month? But can you, it's really easier than trying to work around it for 2.5-3 months, for example. So from that point of view, I can understand why they've, why they've sort of kept it short and sharp. It does seem like you're dipping your toes in the water to see if it can, or does it have the legs to look after itself, kind of thing, or is rather than saying, okay, look, we've already seen that England have got X, France have got Y, we need to go B. It's a very tentative. It feels a tentative step rather than a big bold stride into the future. From my point of view. It's from that point of view. It's a step in the right direction, but to me, it's a smaller step rather than the leap or the stride that I would like to see.
Pretty cool. Yeah. All right. We'll see. Yeah, I agree. Also, I mean, I understand the Matutu versus the Crusaders and the Highlanders, but it also seems like they must have had a very good reason, because A, it prevents the ability for the teams to have when they extend this, a bye week, which is always helpful. And B, it takes away any existing, I guess, fan relationship with teams. I think a lot of fans that tune in for the first time with their remote and see Matutu are going to have trouble understanding who they are, you know, and which, if they're in the South Island, they might miss the fact that it's their team. But hey, maybe the brand, maybe I'm underestimating the marketing.
Look, this is something that I think having the whole nickname or for a team is useful. But if you look at how the USA do it, they always put the city name with it, right? And one of the things, and so I wouldn't have been adverse to seeing it being South Island Matutu, Wellington Hurricanes.
Yeah, or South Matutu,
give it some sort of as you say. Does Matutu actually mean anything to a large part of the population? I think the answer is probably no. I like the tie-in to the culture and thing, but people got to learn about it, and I think a way of taking them with them, a bit like the Chiefs Manawa, you know who they are straight away, right? And then you can go away and learn what Manawa means. And that part of things. So from that point of view, someone here said attachment policy. Super Rugby. The attachment between the provinces and the Super Rugby teams is one thing. The attachment between a brand and a location is another thing. You'll see the Melbourne Rebels. They're called Melbourne Rebels because the people who were buying that franchise said, we have to have the word Melbourne in there, because that's how you actually sell sports teams, and they wouldn't buy it otherwise. So there are people in sports marketing realize that you need to put the name in there. You can't just go with, you need to add the location in there. A recent interesting one was the Ottawa Arrows, started off as that, then changed themselves to Toronto Arrows because market research showed them that having a city name rather than an area name created a better connection with a team. In Australia, the city name is a state name. No, it's just the Western Force. But it's not the West Australia Force. It's not the ACT Brumbies. It's the Brumbies. It's not the New South Wales Waratahs. It's just the Waratahs.
So what you're saying is the Melbourne Rebels are the one team in Super Rugby that has an exception.
Yep.
Sort of, they've managed to get an exception.
Sorry, it's not Ottawa, it's Ontario. Thank you, Simon. The point still stands at Ontario Arrows.
I think Ottawa was the capital, isn't it? But, yeah.
Thank you. The point stands at the province name didn't carry the same connection with fans as the city name.
That is interesting. Because obviously in the UK, well, in Europe, the Irish teams have the large provincial sort of names for their teams, you know, Munster and Ulster and Leicester and all that, Leinster and all that. Whereas in England, they obviously use the city or even a small part of the city, because I'm not sure how it works with the city. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess the other thing is that the that in Ireland.
Sorry, I'm saying yep to Simon. Excuse me.
Yes. Right. Sorry. In Ireland, the provinces have been around for well, okay, I'm going to say centuries, but for a very long time. They predate professional rugby, and similar things that happen, and they're across other sports as well. So that's something they took an existing structure that was the right size, i.e. four teams, and used it well. The problem for Wales, for example, was they were very much a club-based setup rather than a regional-based setup. Mm. And therefore, when they tried to go to four teams, they alienated a lot of people and created an argument that's still happening now, 25 years later, around their sites. So the... So yeah, Ireland not only were lucky to have the right structure, but they also were lucky to back the right structure and do it properly. So they're an exception in that kind of sense. Whereas rugby in England, for example, could have followed. I mean, England has county rugby, and they could have followed that. And it, what that was big, you used to get 80,000 turning up to the county rugby final at Twickenham, or however big Twickenham was at the time. So that they could have gone down that route, but instead. Because they didn't embrace professionalism properly, they allowed club owners to come in or private investors to come in and organise things and take it away from the RFU in that one. So from that point of view, it is a in Ireland it's a historical thing that they've latched onto. You look at all the English teams, Bristol Bears, Exeter Chiefs. Sales Sharks, they all have the city and then the nickname for a better word next to them. So copying that American piece. Whereas over in France, they use much more traditional kind of names like Stade Toulouse, basically, yeah. Not quite sure where we're going with that one. But anyway, great to see. I intend to get along to the Chiefs games or ones that are hosted in Hamilton.
Oh, you'll be able to. It's the media
pass. I hope so. Yep. It'll mean I have to go through a certain gate, etc., which we had to do through level two COVID last year. Level three, either way. Which I had to go through a funny gate to get in. So from that point of view, I expect to be able to go so maybe my comment earlier about looking at the difference of crowds for the doubleheader games as opposed to the standalone games may not happen, may not count, folks, because you might not be able to have crowds in there anyway. But the level of interest, I think, it'll still be interesting to see which one's more, I considered more or less successful than the others.
Interesting.
So Melody Robinson has given an interview and talks about how women's rugby is at a tipping point at the moment. So she makes a few one of the points that's been made before, or that gets made generally about women's rugby, is that why should they have and sorry, Colin, I've come up to my the half hour mark, so please do drop. I've gone way past your lot of time, so thank you very much.
I'll jump off soon. Yeah. Sweetest. But keep talking, Paul, and I'll be listening.
But one of the comments that's been made is that women's rugby should get paid basically what the income it's bringing in the past. Now, one of the interests. So now I'm not a believer in that. I think it needs to be invested in so that it can create. You invest to get a return, and that it needs to be invested in. But some interesting things is that like the Women's World Rugby Cup. Has been sold for media rights along with the men's one as a combined thing. So you don't actually know how much money is each individually bringing in. So apparently that's going to be split up out going forwards. So it'll be interesting to see what, how much money the women's game actually does bring in from that point of view, from a media point of view. She kind of makes this comment, makes this kind of view that we're going to see these sort of things perhaps being separated in a certain way to have different income streams. And I guess it'll be interesting to see how big that income stream is and how well it works. I guess my big concern for women's rugby as a whole is that from what I can see so far is it's copying the men's game, which I would say rugby in the men's game is unsustainable financially and also health-wise as well for the players. From that point of view, I'm not sure that I think there needs to be some more blue sky thinking around how we structure and how we grow the women's game rather than just copying the men's game. It'll be interesting to see how well the Pacific tournament between Australia, New Zealand, USA and Canada goes, if and when, or hopefully when it kicks off. Obviously, it's going to be post-Rugby World Cup, and we'll see how much longer COVID's around for and how much of that impacts it as well. So it is a bit of a concern as to where that fits in. But so have a look on Stuff to see, and to have a read about her, the interview she gave, or that's been reported on that she gave on that one. But she does think that women's rugby is at a tipping point. I think I'd agree with her on that one, that it is at a tipping point. We're seeing the increased professionalism and increased investment in in England in particular, we're getting there now. We're seeing the first steps here in New Zealand, and it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out going forward with all of that kind of thing. So interesting interview. Go have a read of that old Stuff is my suggestion. One of the points she does make is that the real place where there's a lack of female representation is at the CEO level. It'll be interesting to see who is going to be the first female CEO of a province or even of New Zealand rugby here in New Zealand. I think we've got a chairwoman down in Canterbury. I think she's the first one for Canterbury from memory, thinking about it. It's going to be interesting to see how that's, who will be the first person there, who's going to break that glass ceiling, and how that all progresses and going forwards. So there we go, folks. I think that's pretty much all the stuff we've seen for this week. I'll be back at 8 p.m. next Monday with the Driving Maul Show. As we get closer to Super Rugby, there'll be more to watch and talk about. Folks, please all stay safe. Please all keep following the government's and whatever regulations you have in your place. Let's hope we get as much rugby to watch as soon as possible, and hopefully it's not COVID impacted. Simon points out that the final qualifying tournament, Samoa and Hong Kong have had to pull out of it to some interchange of format. Shame about that. The final team still has to be to qualify for that Super Rugby, for the Women's Rugby World Cup that we have here later in the year here in New Zealand. Looking forward to that as well. Thank you everyone who watches, subscribes, follows, comments, join the shows, etc. Catch you all next Monday, 8 p.m. Cheers. Have a great week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.